I'm a little nervous, so I want to make sure this doesn't move. Okay. My name is Bob Wegner. I'm an elder with Cornerstone and church twice on a Sunday. I should get some extra credit for this. Also, the Giants are probably kicking off right now. But anyway, my job here today is to welcome you all to the special occasion. And on behalf of the Monmouth Presbytery and Cornerstone, I would like to welcome you here today. And I'd also like to thank Jackson United Methodist Church for hosting us, you know, allowing us to use their sanctuary. Pastor Reverend Joe Tiederman has been very gracious, and the congregants of the United Methodist. I'd like to thank all the family members for being here today, friends, clergy, elders, deacons, and congregants. And I know you all join me in asking the Lord to have His Holy Spirit be with us today as we celebrate this special occasion. Thank you.
Pray. Astonish us, Heavenly Father, with your presence during this installation service of Reverend Courtney Cromie as pastor of Cornerstone Presbyterian Church. Guide her as she follows in the footsteps of her father in leading the members of her congregation to grow in numbers and in faith. This we pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
One of the challenges of being the church and preparing men and women for ministry is doing it in a way that they can afford, so that ministers do not graduate from seminary with unacceptably high levels of debt. And so it is a joy that we have an opportunity today to do something about that problem, because the offering for this service will go to the Scholarship Fund of Monmouth Presbytery, from which scholarship grants are made for the men and women who are inquirers or candidates for the ministry studying in seminary. And we encourage your generosity in presenting these gifts to God. O Christ, there is no plant in the ground, but it is full of your virtue. There is no object on the earth, but it is full of your blessing. There is no life in the sea, no creature in the ocean, nothing in the heavens but proclaims your goodness. Of these gifts we offer, this money which so often seems to us divorced from all that is sacred, may we always remember it is no different than anything else you have created, no less than the plants, the earth, the sea, the creatures. By the power of the Spirit, let even these material gifts sing your praises. Amen.
This is certainly a day of celebration. The psalm, however, turns us to another time, a time when faith is a little harder to come by and celebrations seem far away. Listen to how we learn from the psalm to grab onto our faith with both hands. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say continually to me, "Where is your God?" But these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in a procession to the house of God. With glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down? Why are you cast down, my soul, and why are you disquieted in me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon and from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep. At the thunder, your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. The day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why? Why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because my enemies oppress me? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me, while they continually say, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you quieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. This is the word of the Lord.
Our New Testament reading this afternoon is from 1 Peter, chapter 2, starting with verse 1. And we find Peter writing to a group of Christians seeking to inspire them with hope for the future and teaching them how to grow in their faith. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you have come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. And a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of the Lord.
Madam Moderator and various dignitaries, Presbyterian around, I thank you for the invitation to be here today. I'm Courtney's dad, if you haven't figured it out by now. And I want to thank Courtney for the invitation to preach. So I'm just going to chat with you a little bit. By the way, I have no high expectations of how memorable this occasion will be for the sermon, at least. I expect I've gone to 50 installation services. My own was 50 years ago, and it took 2.5 hours. Even some of the people on the program left before it was over, particularly those whose tasks were over, just slipped out the door. And I preached at about 24 or 5 of them myself, and I can't remember a word that anybody spoke, including me. So I'll try my best, Court, to do a quick job. I've prayed for mercy at these services, that somebody would slow down and quit. But we'll see. I do warn you, ladies and gentlemen, we're only halfway through the program, not even that. And I've got a clock in front of me to keep going. Well, Dan read that wonderful scripture. I was going to read it, but I don't have to now. I just want the people of Cornerstone and whatever church you're from to highlight this little word. I am laying a stone in Zion, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. That cornerstone, of course, is Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation on which to build a church or a life. Now, if some of you are professors, I guess, I know there are a couple anyway, and you might like structure in a sermon. It's not my style, but I'll give it to you so you'll have something to hang my few little thoughts on, all right? And if you want to repeat the sermon any time, you can remember the outline. Number one, you need a good foundation. That's not only for a church or for a building, that's for a life. And in my own personal theology, I've struggled for 50 years and more to lay a good foundation one building block at a time. We'll come back to that. You know, first, I had to struggle years ago with, can you believe it, whether God existed? But I was of the mind that you had to overpower it yourself. And so I examined it for a couple of years, didn't you? And so that was my first block. If you don't have the Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, on your foundation, you're not going to get anywhere. And then I pieced in this block and that block, and of course, I came to realize that Christ was the embodiment of that God. And then just recently, I may know more than 4 or 5 years ago, I put in the piece of the resurrection of the body. That was a hard one for me. I mean, I knew there was a life that lasts forevermore. And I know what the Bible says about it, too, the Old Testament, Middle Testament, and the New. But without a good foundation, you don't go anywhere. On the Sermon on the Mount, do you remember how it ends? I mean, this is a compilation of what Jesus said to us all. You know it. It's so usual for this kind of sermon that you would think of it, right? Jesus said there was a man who built a house upon a rock. Are you listening? And the winds came and the floods came, and you know all about that over this way, don't you? And we know about it in North Carolina, too, by the way. of all the things that go on when a hurricane decides to come your way. But the rains beat against that house and the winds blew, but it didn't fall. Why? Because he had built his house upon a rock. And there was another man taking shortcuts. He didn't struggle the way you have and I have to build a faith that would stand against the winds of time. And he built his house on the sand. You know, remember, children? And the winds came, and flood, that beat against that house. And what happened to it? It fell down. And Matthew adds, great was the fall of it. I mean, it was awful. You need a good foundation first. But secondly, are you listening from Cornerstone? You can't live on a good foundation. I mean, there are other things that can happen to you in this world, but you can't live on a good foundation. I know in my ministry, one way to say it, over 50 years now, I've come across a lot of unfinished lives. People who start out with a great idea. This is what I'm going to do, Lord. This is where I'm going to be. This, you know, and they break the promise. And there's a little house in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. It used to be a favorite of mine. Gorgeous little home with shutters and a nice walkway up to the house. And they got the windows in, and it was brand new. And the architect, I suppose, was pretty clever because I liked the house. And you know, nobody ever lived in it. It stands there now, to this day, 30 years later. And it's overgrown with weeds, and the windows are broken, and the roof's half blown off. Are you with me? You ever been to Scotland? Up in Oban, where you take off to go out to Turbamore and Isle of Mull to get to Iona, there's a beautiful symbol of what I'm trying to say. And it's called McCaig's Folly. It's a round piece. In about 1900, he decided he was going to build a Colosseum, of course, a replica. And that was ambitious, if you think about the poor man, but he went broke. And there's the outline of the Colosseum. That's what, but it's not finished. It's unfinished. And I guess that's none of my business what you do about building a building Cornerstone. But you can't live on a foundation. You can't live in the wilderness. So God will prompt you. And that leads me to my third point, and I'm almost done. Just in case you're keeping touch. This point three, these are difficult times, aren't they? I mean, it's rugged out there, friends. But when I started in the ministry, it was rugged too. We didn't even ordain women. We fought to ordain a woman in the Presbytery of Pittsburgh when I was sort of silly. And we were going into civil rights in earnest, thank God, for the first time. We haven't succeeded yet. But at least we were trying to make the progress. And it wasn't much fun when they were burning each other at the stake during the Reformation, was it? And it wasn't much fun when you had to worry about the emperor's men coming to get you in the small community little house. So it's tough. I know financial times are tough, but you know, it's more important to remember the source of our strength. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn in my generation was a wonderful Russian writer. But some of you younger people might even know him. You probably associate him with the Gulag Archipelago. The poor man was imprisoned by the Soviets. He finally got out. He came to the United States. He wasn't allowed to go home. And he has several books, by the way, but the one I like better than Gulag Archipelago is a story called, it's a book of short stories. It's called The Oak and the Calf. Are you listening, children? This is a wonderful story. There was an oak tree in the corner of a field, and this was in Russia, and there was a little calf there. And all day long, all the calf did was run and ram his head into the oak tree. Stupid little guy. When his headache was over, you know what he did? He turned and ran around and smashed into the oak tree again with his head. And Solzhenitsyn said over and over again, it's an old Russian story, that's all the little calf did. And he said when he was thrown out of his country, he didn't know whatever happened to the calf or the tree. But when he was allowed to go back in years later, don't you know, he went down to the field and the calf was gone and the oak tree was gone. And he said, I didn't know what happened to it. maybe lightning struck it and God took care of the obstacle, and maybe he got it out of the way. And maybe the farmer decided to remove it because he wanted more grass for his cows to graze upon. But then he said, it just could be that the little calf banged his head against it for so long that the tree fell down. So be at it, friends and neighbors. Whatever the obstacle, just that's a definition of ministry court. Sometimes you bang your head against the wall to get something done, and you can't get it done. And then you have to sit back and say, oh, wait a minute. The oak tree eventually disappeared. And maybe it took a lightning strike of God to get it out of there. And maybe the farmer took it out. And just maybe the little calf banged his head against a tree for so long that the tree fell down. It's not ours to worry about what happens to the tree. That's in God's hands. It's ours to worry about what we bang our heads against. And by God, sometimes it's hard. When court was ordained, I said, I don't know if you remember, honey. I gave you a quiz the other night. You couldn't remember much of what I said. but nobody else did either. Your mother couldn't remember a word. So I'm back to my opening line about what my expectations are of what you might remember. But I said, quote, well, I don't have to worry about the church for 50 more years because it's in the hands of Courtney. And I'm getting old. Damn, I ever. I'm getting old, and I need someone else to take it over. And I said I was proud it was you. Well, it's 15 years later. I don't want to tell tales on you. And I'm even older. Man, I'm so old now. I don't even know what I'm doing here, preaching twice a day. I preached this morning down in Bayhead, New Jersey. But I don't worry about it, Court. We got 25 left, maybe 35 if this crazy economy keeps going downhill. You're all going to be working till you're 90 if you don't watch out. But you've got 25, 35 maybe, and I won't worry about it as long as you're there. Glory be to God. May he wrap his arms of love around you and hold you in the hollow of his hands.
After hearing that wonderful sermon about cornerstone and foundations, let us profess our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed in unison. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please join me for the responsive reading for the Litany of Installation as we prepare for this momentous occasion. There are different gifts. There are different ways of serving God. God works through different persons in different ways. Each one is given a gift by the Spirit. Together we are the body of Christ. Though we have different gifts, together we are a ministry of reconciliation led by the risen Christ. We work and pray to make his church useful in the world, and we call men and women to faith, so that in the end every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Within our common ministry, some members are chosen for particular work as ministers of the word, ruling elders, and deacons. In ordination, we recognize among these special ministries, remembering that our Lord Jesus said, whoever among you wants to be great must become the servant of all. And if he wants to be the first among you, he must be the slave of all. Come on up for the presentation.
Hello again. Back in January, our previous pastor, Reverend Rob Morrison, decided to retire, and we, as a congregation, we formed a pastor search committee. It consisted of 6 members of the church, and over a period of several months, we considered many resumes and interviewed a number of candidates. We worked real hard just to find the right person for Cornerstone. We are excited to announce that we have found that right person, and she was approved by the congregation to be our new pastor on July 31st of this year. Her most recent position was pastor in residence for Princeton Theological Seminary School of Christian Vocation and Mission. She has served as an associate pastor for 3 congregations in Silver Springs, Maryland, Boca Raton, Florida, and Yorktown, Virginia. She has unusual depth of experience, enthusiasm, and commitment. We are very excited to have her with us at Cornerstone. She brings to Cornerstone a new and refreshing energy, charisma, and joy. The Lord has truly blessed us. With her wonderful attributes, we feel Cornerstone will grow and flourish as a great place to worship. I present to you the new pastor of Cornerstone Presbyterian Church of Jackson, the Reverend Courtney Beth Karomi.
And Courtney, I have some questions I'm going to ask, the constitutional questions. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior? Acknowledge him Lord of all and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
I do.
Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church universal and God's word to you?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God?
I do, and I will, with God's help.
Will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions?
I will.
Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit?
I will.
Will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world?
I will.
Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church?
I do.
Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love?
With energy first, but yes, I do.
Will you be a faithful minister, proclaiming the good news in word and sacrament, teaching faith and caring for people? Will you be active in government and discipline, serving in the councils of the church, and in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ?
I will.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. These are questions for the congregation. Do we, the members of the church, accept Courtney Beth Karomi as our pastor, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to guide us in the way of Jesus Christ? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do we agree to pray for her, to encourage her, to respect her decisions, and to follow as she guides us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do we promise to pay her fairly and provide for her welfare as she works among us, to stand by her in trouble and share her joys? Will we listen to the word she preaches, welcome her pastoral care, and honor her authority as she seeks to honor and obey Jesus. If so, say we do.
We do. At this time, anyone who's been ordained as a teaching or ruling elder, would you come on up and just lay your hands on our portion as we pray?
This is an awesome day, O God, for it's in this day that we know your Spirit. We feel your Spirit in this room, and we know that it fills Courtney. And just as you ordered creation out of chaos, so you order today, and you ordain Courtney to this very special ministry. You breathed life into the human soul. You created us in your image to love you and to serve you. And you breathed life into Courtney so that she also is in your image, serving you and loving you, growing in you and witnessing to you. We give you thanks for the church throughout the ages and throughout the world. On this World Communion Sunday, we give you thanks for every nook and cranny of the globe that praises your name and that sings out your glory. We know that together we are the church. We are those called out to love you, to serve you, to give of ourselves as you have given so freely to us in Jesus Christ. We pray for the church. We pray that you continue to offer guidance and wisdom and courage and compassion. We know, O Lord, that each person is called to particular service, but on this day we acknowledge your special call to Courtney and to Cornerstone Presbyterian Church. We ask that you pour out your Spirit of the gifts of the Spirit as Courtney goes about her work here, allowing her not only to serve, but to continue growing in her faith, in her love for you, in her understanding of your grace, both through her leadership and work in this congregation and in the community, and through the very challenges that life brings her in this place, and the blessings here among these people, and being a member of this church family. We ask that you anoint your servant, Courtney, with the power to proclaim the gospel in word and sacrament, in witness and in service, in truth and in love, for the building up of the people of God, for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask that you pour out your Spirit upon the Cornerstone congregation, that they too may also be filled with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love. And that together, Courtney and this congregation will be a living and visible witness to your truth here in Jackson, your love and your grace to everyone with whom they work, they live, and they play. Gracious and loving God, accept all that we are and all that we hope to be in the unity and service of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray together saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And for this congregation, the Cornerstone Presbyterian Church. Be faithful and true in your ministry so that your whole life will bear witness to the crucified and risen Christ. Congratulations.
Cornerstone tradition, what do we say?
Courtney, indeed, it was a pleasure to serve with you in ministry at the Seminary School of Christian Vocation and Mission for your interim position and for your two-year term position there as well. I have every confidence that I can speak on behalf of your colleagues from the seminary that are here as we say that they are substantial and unique contributions that you made while you're there. Thank you. I can also say that certainly the seminary's loss is certainly Cornerstone's gain. And the comfort that we take is that we are serving the same church and the same Christ. All that to say, I was honored when you asked me to give you your charge at this installation because I recognized that this would be a relatively unique environment. I could talk and you wouldn't be able to say anything. But just because you're hearing me doesn't mean you're listening. Which means I could very easily turn into Charlie Brown's teacher. Womp, 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 womp. As a part-time pastor myself, I recognize that there are many challenges in the parish. And that there is going to be a multitude of people and a multitude of situations that are going to be coming at you quite often all at the same time. And so the question then is, how do you handle things? How do you faithfully move ahead? My charge is this. Multitasking is a myth. Womp, 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 womp. When you're looking and deciding exactly what to do, the answer is quite simple. Look first towards Christ. Look towards Christ. And remember, he is with you always, even to the end of the age. Alleluia and amen.
Once upon a time, there was a new church development pastor whose name was Paul. He was very instrumental in starting up many of the churches whose names you know in the New Testament. One of those churches was the church in Corinth, and Paul spent a considerable amount of time there, starting the church, teaching them, preaching, establishing. And the time came that Paul left the church at Corinth. And then a rather fiery and charismatic preacher by the name of Apollos followed him and became the primary preacher and teacher at Corinth. Being the rather divisive bunch that they were, the people of Corinth began to set up camps. There was a group that said, I belong to Paul. Some others said, I belong to Apollos. Still others kind of upped the stakes and said, I belong to Peter, or I belong to Christ. And so Paul wrote a letter to them, and he said this in 1 Corinthians 3. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants working together. You are God's field, God's building. A lot of you know that I am a new church development pastor myself, although my church is a little older than Cornerstone is. But one of the exciting things to me about being here today, other than the fact that Courtney and I shared ministry a number of years ago at Morningstar, is the youth of this congregation. What we're celebrating today is really the first major transition in your life as a congregation. Rob Morrison was your founding pastor. And with his retirement and now Courtney's installation as your second pastor, you've closed chapter one of your congregational life and you have begun chapter two. And it's natural to do some comparing of chapter one and chapter two, as the people did in Corinth. But I encourage you not to make the comparisons an occasion for conflict among you as they did in Corinth. Rob had certain skills and gifts that he brought to his ministry. Courtney, as you well know already, brings her own set of gifts and skills, and I can tell you she has many. Different leadership for different times in the life of this congregation. Rob planted, Courtney has already begun to water what was planted, and God gives the growth. As Paul said, we who are pastoral leaders are God's servants, working together for the same end. You are God's field, God's building. And whichever image you prefer, the living one of the field, grain growing, or the construction of the building, the meaning is the same, really. Let God's servants do their work. Be receptive to the word preached and to the ministry given. Support the ministry. In this new chapter of your life, Courtney will lead you into new adventures in ministry. I know that, in the mission and certainly in faith. As she leads you, let God give you shape and form and direction in this ministry. As you open yourself to the work of God's servants, God will give you the growth. So God bless your ministry and God bless this new chapter in the life of Cornerstone Church.
Wow. This feels official. I look out today and there are people here from all walks of my life and my ministry. Makes me cry, actually. My sister's here and my niece and nephew. Thanks. My mom and dad, of course. And we're really glad my dad is here. I was telling Bob Wigner if he could do anything for me. Where are you, Bob? That he was supposed to pray for me that I didn't cry. It didn't work. But I did see Reverend Rob out there. Hey, Rob. I want to say thank you to you. He's the founding pastor of Cornerstone. And his faith in Christ is what made all of you in this room. Because he butted his head up against a tree a few times, I think. And we know what they were. But we thank God for him. And I thank God for each of you. I have a friend from high school here, Jay Jackson. Raise your hand. Where are you? All the way from my high school days. It's amazing. I have friends from college here. I have friends from seminary here. I have friends from my second time at seminary. I have friends from my church that I served while I was at the seminary. I have friends from seminary here. I can't even tell you what emotional moment this is. There's Bayhead Chapel folks here that heard my dad preach this morning and came out again for the second time. Thank you. You must have done a good job, Dad. But anyway, I can't even express to you the gratitude upon my heart for you and for your faith in me. Because if I ever feel like that goat butting his head up against a tree, it's when I start to forget that I am called by God to do this. And I start to doubt that I can do it. And I start to get negative. And so if I could ask anything of you today, as I begin this new journey, that you would pray for me. Chris. Jessica's here. I met her at meetup.com group when I first came to Princeton. And Marlene is here. And oh, God, all these people. I just am so excited. Martha Johns is here. She's my predecessor at my former church. I mean, just like everybody. It's amazing. And Hanukkah and Glenn up from D.C., my first call and supporters of me every day. And you all know who you are. But anyway, I just look around and it's amazing to look out and see all of you. So thank you for being here. But I ask for your prayers that I be positive and that I have the strength to endure butting my head up against the tree. And then I do effective ministry as I promised to do today. So will you pray for me? And Christ indeed is our cornerstone. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Bob, pray. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give peace to you and those you love wherever they may be, for now and forevermore. Amen. We invite you, of course, to stay for a reception that my church has so graciously offered up as a gift to you. So enjoy, stay. There's also a photographer running around. I'd love to get pictures of you. And my sister's got her great camera, and Elizabeth has hers. So if you see some snapping going on, it's because I wanted memories. So God bless you. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And there is a postloon. Want to place it, sit down, feel free to bring everything back in here. Anyway, go please. Thank you so much.